I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
Fasten your seatbelts. Father Larry Richards is in the house. It's Thursday. We're talking the new evangelization here on EWTN's Open Line, and we would love to hear from you. The phone number to be on the program is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're outside the United States and Canada, your number is 1-205-271-2985, and we will put you straight to the front of the line at 1-205-271-2985. You can always send us an email, openline@ewtn.com, or you can text your question to Father Larry. Text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for a response. Text your first name and your question, message, and data rates may apply. I'm Jack Williams, Michael McCall producing the program. Your call screener is Mr. Ryan Penny, and Jeff Burson is handling our social media endeavors. If you're watching on YouTube and Facebook Live, you can type a question into the chat window, and we may get to it by the end of the program. Our host is here every single Thursday, Father Larry Richards. Father, how are you?
I am blessed. I get to go to California and see you next week.
I know,
Jack.
We're going to be together live from California.
Heaven on earth. It's so exciting. It's going to be warm for me. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah,
You're already warmed up, buddy.
I'm telling you, it's a little chilly. It's going to be
60 today?
No. We're talking about like highs in the lower 40s.
Whoa.
Yeah, but while we're in California, they're supposed to get down into the teens here.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
so
good then.
That's like,
hopefully it'll be warm. Sometimes it gets cold in California, too.
It does. And we're going to be there at the Legatus Summit.
Yes,
and
we are.
Legatus, the wonderful organization started by Tom Monahan of Domino's Pizza fame for Catholic CEOs and presidents of companies with the aim of taking the principles of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith into the public square and into the workplace. And I'm always inspired at this event because, you know, people who have, to a large degree, all the things the world tells you that you should have, not only realize that that's not the thing you really need to have, that your relationship with our Lord is paramount, but they get it to the point that they're willing to take it out to their employees, their customers, and the greater world. And to see people who you wouldn't think in the world's eyes would need anything else realize that truth is always inspiring to me.
And it also, I mean, the word legatus mean in Latin is ambassador, that they just don't want to say, hey, we're Catholics who are CEOs. We're Catholics who are CEOs who want to be ambassadors for Jesus Christ and ambassadors for his church. So I'm going to be the MC there. So I have to introduce everybody and they have to listen to me the whole 3 days. It's going to be like hell on earth for them. But I'm excited about going down.
You know, it's interesting because last year the MC was Dr. Ray Guarendi.
Was it two years ago?
Who was it?
Last year was Father Leo.
The little Filipino guy.
That's what they said because I wasn't there last year.
I swore it was Dr. Ray, but anyway, at any rate, even if it was Dr. Ray or Father Leo, they've had to readjust all of the apparatuses and the cameras and everything to, you know.
Because I'm bigger than both of them.
Yes, yeah, standing on each other's shoulders. That's exactly right.
Exactly. So, yeah, I spoke to the Legatus in Harrisburg 2 days ago, and they were telling me that they were the guy who got the award for national whatever says, oh, yeah, and Father Leo was our MC, so I picked on him a lot last year, he said. So I said, well, there you go.
Interesting. If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I'm looking at the emails now.
Uh-oh.
No time like 5 minutes into the program to look at the emails, is there? And we've got one here from Charlene, and she says, Father Larry, my niece was baptized Catholic. However, she is quite involved with, quote-unquote, her faith community church. I've tried to invite her to our Catholic church. She just wouldn't consider it. How or what can I do?
Well, again, my biggest thing is to always meet people where they are. And you say, because what happens is when you say, come, why don't you come to Mass because it's so much better than where you're at now, then automatically you put them in a defensive mode. And that doesn't work because now they want to battle you. But when you sit there and focus on what we agree with, oh, I'm so glad you found faith and you found this community. And, but I want you to, know the experience, the deepness of the truth of Jesus in the Eucharist and how he longs for you and misses you. And of course you see him in that other church. Of course he's somehow present, but he's not as present as he is at Mass when you get to receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity. And so you build on what you agree with. You build on what's good about what they're doing. Again, the reason we do that is because that's the way Paul did it. You know, Paul built on what other people were doing, and then he says, but let me show you more. And that always works much better than, you know, you left the faith, you're going to hell forever. Because you do realize both sides do that. When a Protestant becomes Catholic, all their family says, you know, you left the true faith, now you went to those heretic Catholics, and you're going to hell forever. And we hate when people do that to us, and so we should hate both ways. We just sit there, and the fullness of truth can take care of itself, so invite her back to the fullness of truth, but acknowledging what she's doing and finding good even there.
You know, as my evangelical Protestant days, the group that I was mm-hmm. part of in college, I'll be forever grateful for them. They got me into the Word of God, and they really, you know, lit a fire under me, and I wouldn't trade the time there for anything. And they really prepared me, quite frankly, to be able to receive the truths of the Catholic faith when they were presented to me in a way that, you know, I was ready to receive them.
Absolutely. God has a plan.
Yep. One line open at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Laura writes in, I'd like to know, why does the Apostles' Creed say that Jesus descended into hell? What does it mean by that?
Well, that's a translation we use in America. The more original translation says he descended to the dead. You know, and a lot of other places use that thing. It means that Jesus Christ, when he died, went to the abode of the dead, where everybody who had not yet been saved, because he had not died on the cross. And so there's a great thing for the daily readings on Holy Saturday that, you know, it talks about this reality. And there's Jesus, and he goes down to the abode of the dead, and there's Adam, his original, their father of all mankind, who had been waiting for him and says, I am your son, but I am your savior, and I've come to redeem you. And it's like, whoa. So when it talks about Jesus went to the abode of the dead, was to set them free to enter into the kingdom. So
beautiful question. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Pardon me. I'm having a rough go of it here.
He is. We better pull Tom in or something.
I have this overwhelming urge to play tic-tac-toe on your sweater. So
hey, that's a beautiful sweater. Hey, picking on my sweater.
But it's like, you know, the box.
It is a tic-tac-toe. There you go. There. Yeah. It's cold up here. It's like 12 today. We're supposed to get like 8 inches of snow on Friday, Saturday. So
that doesn't stop you from evangelizing, though, right?
It sure doesn't. That's why I'm on the radio. I can do it any matter well it gets outside.
What kind of evangelistic programs do you have there at St. Joseph's for your parishioners?
We have RCIA, of course. We have Alpha, of course. We have Life in the Spirit, you know, of course, to bring them deeper. We have a bunch of different things because we have the Formed app here that we pay for. So we're a bunch of our people use different Formed apps to have these small groups and Bible studies. And that's how a lot of people get involved in us is, you know, they get invited to a Bible study and then they get brought over. They get involved into a small group of sharing, like we have something on finances coming up. And so we try to have as much going on as possible to invite and have as many different interests. And, you know, sometimes people might come to the church, and one of our biggest things we have here is our youth group. And our youth group, like right now, there's about, I think, four or five or maybe even six kids who have not even been baptized yet, but they've been coming to the youth group and they've been coming to Mass with absolutely not even a baptism yet. So that's a great way, because my biggest thing when I started a youth group here is I said, listen, our job is to reach those who have not yet been reached for Christ. And so, and then one of our kids is actually going to just email me and ask me if to write a letter for him to get into the priesthood, to go to the seminary or to a novitiate. And so for the Friars Renewal, which I'm, and was part of our youth group and everything else. So it's ecstatic what's going on here by God's grace. And I just talked to Justin Fatica yesterday, and he's telling me about all these things. You know, Justin Fatica, again, one of my students who I had and brought him to Christ, he now has kids studying for priesthood for his organization. It's going to be like an order, don't you know? Mm. And so they're actually going on to major seminaries. So God is good.
Beautiful. Plenty of time for your phone calls here at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We're talking the new evangelization on EWTN's Open Line Thursday with Father Larry. EWTN is our toll-free number. That's 833-288-3986. You know, we're not just here Monday through Friday. We are 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And there is this, there's this program, Father Larry.
Yeah.
On Saturday mornings at 11 o'clock Eastern time.
Yeah.
It's actually on Monday through Friday at 11 o'clock Eastern time also. With just this absolutely drop-dead gorgeous host.
Really?
Her name's Johnette Williams.
I'm not on then. Oh, okay. Check I'm out. On 10 o'clock at p.m. on Saturdays with Dr. Ray.
There you go. There you go. It's on the
Are you related to her in any way?
You know, I kind of am, yeah.
Oh, gee. Yeah. That poor woman. Yeah.
Don't tell her, though.
Okay, we won't.
But tune into the
fantasy.
The best, the best of Women of Grace with my lovely wife, Johnette Williams, Saturday mornings, 11 Eastern time right here on EWTN Radio. To the phones we go. Our leadoff hitter today is John in New York, New York, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. John, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, John.
Hello, Father Larry. Hi, Ray.
How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm a avid reader of your book, Surrender, over and over and over again.
Uh-oh. Sorry about that. Have you surrendered yet is what I want to know after reading it.
No, that's why I keep reading it over and over.
Oh, it's not doing its job then. Oh, dear, thanks. What can I help you with?
Well, I'm trying to surrender, so I guess it is doing its job.
Okay.
When you describe it in the book, you go through the three steps where you ask forgiveness, and I may have this wrong.
Okay, sounds right so far.
And then you're supposed
surrender.
To still yourself and put yourself into the arms of Jesus.
Yes, well, yes, surrender. First you become present, knowing that Jesus is with you. Then you tell Jesus you're sorry. I'm sorry for my sins. Then you say, I surrender my life to you. And then you say, hold me. And you let the Lord embrace you and you end that time with the Lord's Prayer, praying with Jesus his prayer.
Okay, I've tried to do that in bed at night when I'm laying there. I've tried to do it in adoration.
Uh-huh.
And it just seems that I'm distracted when I'm at that point where I say, hold me.
Sure.
That my mind doesn't, that it seems to wander.
Sure. And the best thing to do is to focus on a word or words. Like, again, I told all my people this past Sunday, if you went to Mass on Sunday, it was the Feast of the Baptism of the Lord. And the last line of the gospel was, you are my beloved son, in you I am well pleased. And I gave them all penance. And I said, for the next 6 days until next Sunday, you need to spend every day 5 minutes with that scripture. And see, when you can meditate on the Word of God and say it and focus on it, then the Word of God has power. So if you can't just sit there and you say, Lord, hold me, and you can't get it, then keep reading the Word of God and that verse. And you can go to, it's also, it was in Luke's this past weekend, but you can go to Mark chapter 1, verse 11, and just hear the Father say, the Father say, you are my son. And when you can do that, then you can start focusing on exactly what's happening here. And like the saints used to talk about, when you're trying to meditate and the distractions come, focus on a word or a verse that will help you. When I'm praying that, what I do, the word that I spend time with is the word Abba. And Abba means daddy, papa, father. And so always I do, and I do it in the morning, I just close my eyes and I just say, Jesus, hold me. And then I just say, Abba, and it'll keep focusing me. When my mind gets distracted, as it does, of course, I say, Abba, and I come into the presence of God again and again. So you can focus on a verse of scripture. You can focus on a word. I call it a prayer word. Ask the Lord in your prayer to give you a word that will help focus you and help bring you back to the center. You are now in the presence of God. Does that help you?
Thank you so much. Yes, it does.
Thanks, John, for calling. God bless you.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. Next stop, Columbus, Ohio. Matt is in Columbus, listening to our great affiliate there, St. Gabriel Radio. Matt, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Matt.
Good afternoon, Father.
How are you? I love Columbus. It's one of my favorite places.
It's a great city. I moved here from up your way. I was in Meadville for a while. Now I'm out here in Columbus.
Oh, there you go. Good job. You got, that's a good move. It's not far enough south, but it's a good move. What's up?
So my question for you is related to nursing, a baby. My wife made me promise a week ago that I'd call Father Larry next time he's on.
Okay.
What sort of, I guess, level of responsibility does a woman have when nursing a baby in public, in mass? Like, for instance, our son refuses to nurse under a sheet. Like, anytime she puts that cover over him, he won't eat, but then he gets real fussy and starts distracting people in mass. Now, obviously, like, she's not going to expose herself to everybody around us wherever we are, but at the same time, she was wondering, you know, like, to what extent do I have to go to prevent wandering eyes from lustful thoughts?
Well, sure, and it's not just, honest to goodness, I've dealt with this 1,000 times as a pastor, and I used to have a woman who would sit in the first row, and she would constantly nurse without covering herself. And I said, listen, it's not good to do that in front of me when I'm in the middle of a mass. It's distracting. Well, it shouldn't be, Father. It's natural. And I go, it can be as natural as you want. Sex is natural. I don't want to see it done in front of me either. I'm sorry. So again, you got to do something for modesty. You know, in fact, if you go back, St. John Vianney, who was also a pastor, he talked once about it as being mortally sinful to breastfeed at Mass. And he came right out and said, mortally sinful. Now, I would not say that, but I'm just telling you what St. John Vianney said. I just think that you got to find a balance between, you know, again, what I told my people is the best thing to do if you can't cover yourself is to go into the bathroom and to do it in the bathroom. It's just not appropriate in public to do it and let your breast be exposed. It brings, because there's all kinds of people in the world, and I promise you, I'm not looking at things to look, but when I'm in the middle of mass and someone's in the first row and you see it, it's just like, it's distracting. That's all I can tell you. So you got to find a balance there. Does that help?
It does. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what we thought was the case, but we knew you'd have a good answer for us. So thanks very much.
Thank you. God bless you.
Next stop for us is, well, it's Amarillo, Texas.
Know.
It's Amarillo, Texas.
Amarillo, Texas. Whoa.
St. Valentine Radio, great affiliate there in Amarillo. Jeremy, you are on with Father Larry Richards.
Hello, Jeremy.
Hello, Father. How are you doing?
I'm very blessed. How are you out in Texas?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. What's up?
Okay, I'll get through this as quickly as I can.
Okay.
A few years ago, I was an atheist. I got real interested in Judaism. I started attending synagogue, and at one point, you know, I decided I was going to convert to Judaism. Okay, well, the Jews didn't intend this, but they kind of led me into Christianity. Okay, again, they did not intend this.
No, I figured they wouldn't intend that. No.
Well, they educated me into it, and unlike them, I didn't grow up Jewish, and so I'm not weighed down by 2,000 years of cultural prejudice, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, well, anyway, so I become a Catholic, and since then, whenever I first, I went into it largely thinking, you know, that Catholicism was going to be a lot more like Judaism than it is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, where I am right now is, I was confirmed in 2012, okay?
Okay.
Where I am right now is, it's been like a year and a half to maybe 2 years since I've been religiously observant. I haven't been taking communion, and I've been attending Mass very, very irregularly.
Okay.
I have decided that I need God in my life. I need to be religiously observant.
Okay.
But it's like I want to go back and become a Jew, but I'm not ready to renounce Jesus as my Messiah. It's,
smart. That's good.
I'm conflicted about this. I mean, in a nutshell, I like Jews. I don't like Christians.
Uh-huh. Why?
I think I'm a high-functioning autistic, okay? What I mean by that, you know, I'm diagnosed autistic or Asperger's syndrome.
Sure.
I don't have any disabilities or anything like that. I work
40-plus
hours a week. I have my own business. I've got money in the bank.
Sure.
Judaism, I felt, when I was going to, I did not know that I hadn't been diagnosed at the time. I came to this conclusion after I was diagnosed, but
okay.
It felt like it was tailor-made for Aspies.
Okay.
It's very practical. You know, the people there were actually interested in helping me solve, you know, my real practical problems. I mean, that was basically it. It all comes down to, you know, just being very.
You had a community there, sure.
Well,
the problem,
it's very communal, and
absolutely.
I feel like I was part of the family.
Sure.
We can struggle with that in the Catholic Church.
Sure.
Sometimes, Father.
And the reality is, I would sit there and, like I just told my people, the best way to do that is to get involved in a small group in your parish. The biggest thing is you don't want to make a decision on how you feel, because feelings can be deceptive. You know, people have sex outside of marriage because how they feel in different things, or they get drunk because of how they feel, or they go from place to place because of how they feel, whereas truth is beyond feeling. And so when it comes to Jesus, Jesus is either the Messiah or he's not. And if he is the Messiah, he says, unless you come to believe in me, you will die in your sins. If he is the Messiah, he says, unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life within you. So again, Jesus makes it pretty explicit that if you just turn your back on him on purpose, that it could be a bad thing, because he'll give you what you want, and what you want isn't him. And that ain't a good position to be in. So I would encourage you, before you just go running back, and again, you do what you will, of course. I'm not here to tell you what to do. But I am here to tell you, before you go and just leave, that you try to find community in your Catholic parish and see if that helps you. Because what you're looking for is community, and you can find that in the Catholic Church. But beyond that, if you just sit there and you look at what is objectively true, is Jesus the Messiah? And if he is, will you allow yourself to be martyred for him? Meaning, are you willing to give up your life, give up everything for love of him the way he's given up everything for love of you? And we will pray for you, I promise.
God bless you, Jeremy. We appreciate the phone call. If you'd like to be on the program, the number is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. You can also send us an email, openline@ewtn.com. EWTN's Open Line Thursday, talking the new evangelization with Father Larry Richards. EWTN is our toll-free number, 833-288-3986. That's the number Carol used. She is in Marmara, New Jersey, listening on EWTN.com. Carol, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Carol.
Yes. I have a question. Not sure how to express it, but where can we get accurate information on the teachings of the church, like, for example, on holy days of obligations? There's certain ones that if they fall on a Saturday or a Monday,
mm-hmm.
you're excused, but there's mm-hmm. some that no matter what day they fall, you have to go to church on Sunday and on the holy day.
Mm-hmm.
Where can we get that?
Well, the problem is the bishops of the United States have said, okay, that's if it falls on a Monday or a Saturday, you can be exempt for certain ones, like the Feast of All Saints or different things. But the only one it really that it doesn't change for would be the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, which is December 8th. And the reason is because she's the patron of the United States of America. So she's a patronal feast day. And so, but the reality is, like, so often, like, even Ascension Thursday in a lot of dioceses have been moved, and it's no longer a holy day of obligation during the week, but they move it to the previous Sunday, which we don't do. So a lot of things, it's what the bishop says of your diocese, whether it's a day of obligation or not. Your bishop does have the power to be able to say what a day of obligation is or not. But if you go to the United States Bishops Conference website, the
USCCB.org.
Yeah, USCCB.org. It'll give you the holy days and whether they're days of obligation or not. You can just put in their holy days, and that will be helpful. But sometimes bishops will change that in their diocese, so you just got to watch. That's why I always go crazy. Well, if you're in this diocese, it's a mortal sin. If you're in that diocese, it's not a mortal sin. But anyway, that's if you want to go and find out officially, go to that place, and that'll help you. Does that help?
What happens if the pastor on the Immaculate Conception says that you don't have to go because it's, if you go on Saturday night, that takes care of the Immaculate Conception and Sunday?
Well, again, he doesn't have the, well, let me say this. A pastor can relieve some people from the palm of obligation. But it's a one-on-one basis. I couldn't do it unless it was snowing, and I say, you don't have to come to Mass tonight because it's snowing so bad. A pastor is allowed to do certain things, but he can't make a general statement about this counts for both. That would have to come from the bishop, you know, not the pastor. You know, but again, it's just that was the only time. But let me tell you, we just went through this, of course, in December, and a lot of people missed Mass, or some people went Saturday night and then they went again Sunday, you know, so to make it count. So, you know, it gets to be very, very confusing, and I just wish it, but who am I? I am just a small pastor in Erie, Pennsylvania. It's up to the bishops to decide that, and I am not a bishop. But the pastor can't make that decision.
Thanks, Carol. We appreciate that phone call. The number again is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Isaac. He is at the North Pole, Father Larry, in Alaska.
Wow,
listening
good
on
job.
Queen of Heaven and Earth Radio. Isaac, you are on with Father Larry.
Hello, Isaac.
Hi, Father Larry.
How are you?
Hey, I'm pretty good.
Good, I'm glad. What's up?
So my question is about Adam and Eve. When Eve was in the garden and she was tempted by the snake or Satan, didn't she find it peculiar that the snake was talking? Or did all the others talk and then lose it?
Well, a couple things here. One is he wasn't a snake yet. He didn't become a snake until after the fall, right? Because it was only after the fall when God says, now on your belly you shall crawl. So traditionally he was like a serpent. He was a beautiful, remember he was an angel. And so I don't know about whether she was surprised to hear this, not this serpent, but this dragon or not a dragon, something, this whatever kind of image was before her. But he didn't become the snake until after the fall when he was cursed, you know. So whatever kind of image he presented himself to, the devil often appears as an angel of light. So as St. Paul says, that the devil appears to some as something normally that we're attracted by or attracted to, you know. And so he can become very devious. You know who Padre Pio was? Do you know Padre Pio?
Yeah.
Okay, so the devil appeared to Padre Pio as Jesus, and another time he appeared to Padre Pio as the Blessed Mother. So the devil can take on all kinds of disguises to make us attracted to him. So that's what happened there. How he did that and what we know about that whole thing, we don't know as much. But, you know, the devil did appear in a beautiful way to attract Eve and her husband, of course, to deceive and to go against God. But we don't know exactly how that happened. The story gives us some detail, but not enough. Does that help you?
Yeah, that does. Thank you.
What a guy, Isaac.
Thank
now, you pray
Isaac.
About being a good priest one day, would you? It'll be great.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Good job, Isaac, because they need priests up in Alaska. Good.
Yeah,
pray hard.
Going on it.
Okay.
God
we'll
bless
all pray
you, Isaac.
For you too, Isaac.
We appreciate that phone call. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Next up is Roseanne. She's in Knoxville, Tennessee, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Roseanne, what is your question for Father Larry?
Hello, Roseanne. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Hi, Father Larry.
I love Knoxville. You have a great bishop there. And you know, your vicar general's okay, but I don't know how he is really. But he's a good friend of mine down there, Father David. So if you know either of them, tell them hi for me.
Actually, we are going from Indiana to Florida, and we're in our RV, and we were listening on satellite radio. And
So you're passing through Knoxville.
That is correct. I was just listening to Dr. David Anders, and he said that all lies are sins. Maybe venial, but still a sin. And so my question for you is, every time
talk
I
Dr.
read...
Andrews. Go ahead.
He's not on. You've got to answer.
Okay, I'll try. I don't want to contradict him, though. So whatever he said, I agree with. I'm sorry. Come on, tell me.
I don't believe that you will contradict him. And,
okay.
Always something that every time I read this reading, I have the same question. So I'm glad I have you on, and I hope you can answer for me.
Okay.
So it's the gospel from today of Mark, and
yep.
The Lord says, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." So my question is, why did Jesus tell the leper to lie?
What do you mean? Go ahead. What do you mean? What did he tell them to lie?
Okay, so Jesus obviously cured him, and then
yes.
he tells the leper, he says, "But go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses prescribed." What Moses prescribed was to go to the Jordan and plunge yourself in seven times, and that was going to be the cleansing that was going to happen. And some, I guess, lepers were definitely cleansed by that prescription.
Uh-huh.
Saying to go and tell the priest that that's how you were cleansed.
I don't think he meant that. He meant two things going on here. And I'm not a scripture scholar, so let me. But the first thing was when he says, "Tell no one to anything." He didn't want Pete to go. He already did it. He was going to do it anyway. He didn't want everybody. He didn't want to tell everybody, "Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me. Jesus healed me." Because it, you know, when like already there was a lot of people following Jesus because of what they could get out of him. You know, because I can. You know, even people today they follow these saints and this because I need healing or I need. need this or I need that. So he can come selfishly. So he didn't want to just create fans. So that was the first part. The second part, that when you were declared a leper, you were not allowed to be a member of the community. You were cast out of the community. And the only way to get back into the community was to have a priest declare you clean. So he had to go to a priest and be declared clean. Now, I don't know if, you know, it doesn't mean he could have just said, Jesus healed me to the priest. He didn't have to tell all that, but he had to get back into the community. He had to be proclaimed clean by the priest. And that's what Jesus meant. Go back to the priest and show him you've been clean, and then he'll prescribe that you've been clean, and then you can get back into the community. Does that help?
Yes. I totally get you with what you're saying, and that all is good and fine, but it still says that he tells them to go to give him that to
evidence.
Lie to him and say that you're clean.
No.
Was because he went down. It says offer
what Moses prescribed, but Moses prescribed you had, the point of it is, Moses prescribed you had to be okay by the priest to be brought back in. That first part, that might be part of the thing, but as long as you're prescribed clean by the priest, it didn't matter how you were made clean. Is what I'm saying here. Now, again, if you want to go into greater detail, then what I would encourage you to do is, if you're, that means you're online now, you can go and Google it and look at different scripture scholars' interpretation of what that is. But what I'm saying to you is that he wanted him to be part of the community again, so he had to be sent back to the priest and tell the priest, and the priest had to declare you're clean, and he could see whether a person was clean instantly. You know, how it happened, that's where you're disagreeing with me. You're saying he had to go through what Moses said. But that wasn't the fullness, and that wasn't what Jesus is meaning here in the context of the way it happened. But again, if you want a detailed thing, my thing's how to bring people to Jesus Christ, not explain scripture passages. So if you want to have a scripture passage explained, you need to go and do that and find that for yourself in Google. And that way, I promise you, that's the way I do it. So that'll help you.
Next up is Lorraine. She's in Riverside, California, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Lorraine, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Lorraine.
Hi. Hi, Father
How are
Larry.
You?
Good. This is exciting. It's
just so
very
well, just so you know, Lorraine, before you get too excited, Father Larry is not a scripture scholar. Okay.
There you
okay.
go. I don't. Was that clear?
Very
I don't know
good.
If I was good. Good job.
You did a great job, Father. I have a question for actually a family member. He's my sister's father-in-law and was a former Seventh-day Adventist missionary. I don't even know where he is in his faith at this point in time. But we were chatting over the holidays, and he said, well, I don't know. I'm just not sure, because how do you explain, and he's a scientist, how do you explain the virgin birth, that it was by the Holy Spirit, and that is how Christ came into Mary's womb? And I said, well, she said yes. I believe it reflects the mystery of our faith, but I didn't really have a good answer. How might I explain that?
For a scientific answer, again, some things are beyond science. You know, like, again, we have people who get healed, and we call them miracles. And, you know, all the scientists study it. And even for something to be declared a miracle, it must be beyond naturally proven or things taken care of by science. So the most miraculous of all miracles, the greatest of all mysteries, is that a woman said yes to God's will, and the Holy Spirit, without interrupting her virginity, took up residence inside of her. And the incarnation happened, where God became man in the Virgin Mary. And we call that a miracle. It's beyond science. You know, again, how does, and like when I was in seminary and we were talking about this, you know, Thomas Aquinas used to say, and he says, and again, everybody who's on EWTN, of course, is Aquinas, is Thomistic. And, you know, God cannot do a contradiction. And I raise my hand and I says, well, a woman having a baby and staying a virgin, if you ask me, is a contradiction. They go, oh, Larry, that's just not true. Because I like Bonaventure's way. And Bonaventure says, God can do anything he wants. He's not limited to our reality. But the Thomistics don't like that answer at all. But what I'm saying is, it's a miracle. We can't understand it. But scientifically, you can't prove it either. And so you can't just do that. Now, there might be a deeper answer to that. And again, if there is, I wouldn't be able to give that to you. I hope that helps a little bit.
That was very helpful. You have a wonderful day, and thank you.
God bless you.
God bless you, Lorraine. We appreciate that phone call. Time for your calls at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Churchpop.com, Father Larry. It is a phenomenal website where they scour the internet and grab all the wonderful content. You're going to love this. I'm going to read this to you.
I want to know.
This is on
hear.
Church Pop Today, as the lead article on Church Pop Today. And it was originally posted by Father Bill Peckman on Facebook, and they found it and transferred it over here to Church Pop. But it was in response to a recent commercial where they're trying to talk about the toxic masculinity that's in our society today. And he offered a rebuttal to that. And he said, if you're a Catholic and want to raise a young man, teach him virtue. He says, teach him prudence so that he knows how to be wise and forthright in his decision-making. Teach him temperance so he knows he's not a slave to his bodily urges and how to right order his appetites to be in union with holiness. Teach him justice so that he is attentive to what others need and to treat with respect and dignity the people in his life. Teach him fortitude so that he is courageous and can be counted on to do the right thing despite what sacrifice may come of it. Teach him the necessity to be noble. Teach him faith so that he doesn't allow the corrosive morality of this world to destroy his relationship with God. That relationship, if strong, will positively impact every other relationship. Teach him hope so that he can look beyond the immediate moment and to the long term. Teach him so he doesn't allow himself to be enslaved by what is popular now. Teach him love so that he embraces the selflessness necessary to be a real man. Teach him to be a hero. Where love is absent, so is true heroism.
Wow, that's nice.
Father Bill,
those
are the kinds of things you find at churchpop.com. I encourage everybody to log on daily and take a look at what's there.
Do it.
Next stop for us is Elkhorn, Indiana. Brian is in Indiana listening on Redeemer Radio. Brian, what's your question today for Father Larry?
Hello, Brian.
Hey, hey, Father, how are you? It's a true honor to talk to you.
Nice talking to you.
I just wanted Well, thank you. Thank you. I just want to let you know, I have two questions, or one question.
Okay.
Well, I'll get to that. But the first thing is I want to let you know how a small miracle you helped our parish at St. John's in Goshen, Indiana.
Oh, yeah.
A bunch of men, we decided to get together, and we thought, okay, after Christ renews his parish, what can we do to stay religiously fit? So we said, let's get Father Larry's Be a Man series. And we did that. We did the whole series. About 15 to 17 of us guys got together on a week, once a month basis. And then we went to this this conference in South Bend, Fort Wayne called Rekindle the Fire Conference, men's conference.
Mm-hmm.
And we saw Deacon Harold. We saw Matthew Kelly. We've seen phenomenal speakers. And we thought to ourselves, we need to bring Rekindle into our parish. So with the approval of our priest, we were able to do this, and it was my responsibility to get somebody from this group to come talk to our group. And so the guys, you know, put it all on my I said, hey, I'll do it. I'll call them. I'll whatever. And nothing, you know, I totally forgot about it. So the day before our meeting at 9 o'clock, I thought to myself, oh my goodness, I did not call anybody from this men's group. And I thought to myself, okay, I'm going to be a man. And I'm going to tell the group that I screwed up.
Mm-hmm.
And 4 minutes later, my phone rings. Hey, Brian, it's Kent from Rekindle the Fire. We want to know if you have any meetings coming up. I said, Kent, we have one tomorrow at 8 o'clock in the evening. I'll be there. I'm like, oh, my gosh, Father Larry, that's Be a Man. So
there you go. Look at that.
I wanted to thank you for your what you do for Catholic men and just the faith in general. And I do want to encourage you to, if you ever get a call from the Rekindle guys, to speak at the conference.
Absolutely. I was just there about a year ago at St. John's. They had that men's conference. Right? Wasn't it about a year ago?
Well, we have the Fort Wayne South Bend does the men's conference. St. John's, I don't think has done anything.
Oh, yeah, I was right there again because your bishop was there just about a year ago. We had a big, or maybe 2 years ago, had a men's conference. Because your pastor there, I know well, you tell that pagan to open up his church. Just tell him. Just said, Father Larry said, keep the church unlocked all day.
Okay. I'll tell him that, Father.
Yeah, he won't do it. I've told him every time I see him, but he won't do it. Tell him again. God bless you.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you so
much. Thank you for calling. Bye-bye.
833-288-EWTN is our toll-free number. Next up is Jacqueline in San Antonio, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Jacqueline, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, how are you?
Hi, Father Larry.
I'm coming out there in a couple of weeks here. I'm going to be there for their men's conference in San Antonio. Sorry, it's only men.
No, you're fine.
What's
okay,
up?
The women's conference.
There you go. What's up?
Well, okay, so I have guilt of what I'm about to say because I love my family and they're my in-laws, but I've been dealing with this for more than, like, for 10 years, and I don't, I'm at my wit's end. Like, I'm literally losing my hair over it.
Okay.
So it's everyday life. So I, okay, let me get to the point. I'm sorry, I'm mumbling.
Don't be nervous. Relax.
Okay, so, for example, me and my husband argue so much, and it's all the time. I invite him to Mass, 9 o'clock in the morning Mass. But because I don't invite him, I don't force him because I know he has to do it on his own. But
sure.
I'll just say, you want to come and Mass with me? No, thank you. Okay, well, I'll pray for you, and that's it.
Sure.
And then he'll say something sarcastic. He'll say something sarcastic. Like, his sarcasm will be like, you're a hypocrite anyway, so I don't see what's the point.
Oh, he's a very loving husband, I see.
And then my kids are in front. They hear that. So it doesn't help me when I'm going to church and I want to get them involved with education over there at my church because I'm a parishioner
sure.
there. And it doesn't help me. He worsens the situation with my son. I finally got him to stop crying in church. And now he finally sits next to me instead of two pews down.
Sure. Again, the first thing to do when it comes to your husband is just pray for him. And every time he says something like that, ask the
Lord.
I know, and ask the Lord to bless him all the more when he throws those barbs at you. And that can help. The second thing is when he says something like that to you, you shouldn't argue with him. You should just say, that hurt me very much, and then walk out the door. That'll kill him if he's any kind of a man. You know, it'd sit there and say, I just hurt my wife on purpose. And then you walk out. You don't argue with him. You don't fight with him. You just say, you hurt me very much, and you walk out the door. And let him stew with that for a while.
God bless you.
It doesn't help that we live with my in-laws.
Well, your in-laws are still going to be your in-laws. They're going to do whatever. But again, if you keep praying for them, but you just sit there, if they're coming at you, again, you just say the same thing. That, listen, you have a right to believe what you believe. And if you care about me, you'll let me believe what I want to be. And you always put it back on to, if you care for me. Because, again, all these things we can fight about, but when we start realizing that we're hurting people that we're supposedly caring for, that'll make us think twice before saying anything. And I think if you put that seed in both your husband and your in-laws' mind, that might help, unless they're, you know, completely heartless, but I would guess they wouldn't. You wouldn't have married him if he was.
Quickly, we'll head to Mark in Owensboro, Kentucky, listening on the Savior Radio Network. Mark, you're on with Father Larry.
Hello, Mark.
Yes, Father Larry. Hello, how are you doing, sir?
I am blessed. I love Owensboro. I can't believe I've been there, but I really like it down there. Nice little place.
Yeah, we loved you, too, when you were here, Father. I saw you here at the men's conference.
Good job. Yeah, it was a great time, me and Cardinal Dolan.
It was. Listen, I've got a quick question for you.
Sure.
I was discussing this with a friend of mine the other day, and I read to him from the Catechism where it is a sin, a mortal sin, to offer direct or indirect support for abortion.
Sure.
And I was a little bit unclear on that, exactly what that meant. To me, it means if you support a party or a candidate that supports abortion for any reason, that is offering indirect support for abortion. Would you agree with that or not?
I would, but that's not the teaching of the church. You know, the teaching of the church is very clear about, because when you, because like, there, when it comes to political things, like there are Democrats who are pro-life. And but at the same time, you might have two Democrats running for something and you have to pick the lesser of the two evils. You know, I'm very, very, very pro-life. And I can't even begin how people can vote for people who are not pro-life. It just completely blows my mind. But the teaching of the church is wider than that, and you just can't, the church would not interpret it the way you said. So when we say direct or indirect, it would be directly driving someone to the abortion clinic or giving them money to go and have an abortion and doing things that way. But to vote for a party, I would agree, but the church does not teach that. So, but I get what you're saying.
Father Larry, would you leave us with a blessing?
Father God of love and mercy, we ask you to bless everyone who's listening to us now. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen. On behalf of our host, Father Larry Richards, our producer, Michael McCall, call screener, Ryan Penny, and our social media maven, Mr. Jeff Burson, I'm Jack Williams. Thanks so much for tuning in. Back at it tomorrow with our very own Vice President of Theology, Mr. Colin Donovan. Until we get together tomorrow, God bless.